What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the weekly dime, the show where we round up the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod, and I'm joined by the man who knows every Brazilian working at an ESL school or college or university. Rafael, how are you doing, man?
Not only Brazilians. I wouldn't say every, but most of the Mexicans and Colombians, and yeah.
It's more fun when you think that you know every Latino working in education in Vancouver.
Not all of them, but I know most of them. But I've been working in this industry for a while, so.
So you know all of them.
Yeah, it's funny to think that it's been 8 years already. I still feel like I started yesterday, but no, it's been 8 years.
And that's called aging for you, my friend.
Yes. How many kids I have influenced positively and helped them reach their goals, academic goals.
You're being too nice to yourself. I don't know if you've influenced them positively, but influenced them for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'll give you that.
Some positively, some others maybe not as positively. I don't know.
They've all been positive for the vast majority. But we're not here to talk about education. We're here to talk about the NBA Finals. They're starting today. By the time that you probably listen to this podcast, we're gearing up for the first game of the NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. The first time these two teams are facing each other. And, it's down to two teams now. Raf, how do you feel about this Finals? There's a lot of subcontext. We're going to talk about the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll give our forecast. So what do you think?
I'm happy that at least one of the underdogs made it to the finals. I mean, it's fun. It's going to be fun.
I do have, once we get to Miami, but I do question if they are an underdog, but let's roll with that.
Did you expect them to make it to the finals when the season started?
Of course not. When the season started, of course not.
There you go. So they're underdogs.
Okay. Let's one thing at a time. Let's start off with the Lakers defeating the Nuggets 4-1 in the Western Conference Finals. LeBron showed up for Game 5. He took over the fourth quarter. He had one of those deep threes late in the game where it was like, no, he's in control. And Anthony Davis had a great game as well, but LeBron had a fantastic game. He ended up with a triple-double. It was kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to see LeBron performing on clinching games. He does show up so far, and he's almost unbeaten. I think he's only lost one clinching game in his career, which is absolutely insane. But I know you didn't watch the game, but I know you watched the highlights. So
yeah, I mean, what can I say about LeBron? You know that I'm not a huge fan. I respect him. I'm not necessarily a huge fan. It's a love and hate relationship. Similar to the relationship that I have with Carmelo Anthony, but I think that I have more respect for LeBron than for Carmelo.
You cannot even compare those two. You cannot compare those two.
Exactly. No, but you know what? I was reading the other day that I think it was Bleacher Report that released an article talking about the older players that are still like playing like if they were 20 years old, or they're like still producing a lot even though they are veterans. And Carmelo was included on the list.
Really good season. Yeah, absolutely. But
LeBron was also on the list. So I agree with you. You cannot put them together on the same list. If you're going to include both of them, then you need to make sure that you mention that the reason why Carmelo Anthony is playing well for a veteran, it's because he's been playing like a veteran for 10 years. So that's the reason why he's still playing well as a veteran.
But okay, let's, you know, Carmelo aside, now that you brought up LeBron and not being a fan, like I understand you don't, not everyone will like LeBron. And I think like many of the greats, he'll be more appreciated once he retires because we won't see him playing anymore. And the things that are, we got used to him, right? And like Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, and now like he says, constantly don't take LeBron for granted. And he's right. We've all taken LeBron for granted for the past decade, really. And I don't think we'll truly appreciate his greatness until he retires. Because the fact that this man has gone to 10 finals by himself, it's absolutely amazing, really. He took the Lakers from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. Yes, he got Anthony Davis, but you know, I cannot find ways of hating on LeBron. Obviously, he's a Laker, so I would support him. But the man is fantastic. He, to me, he's already the greatest basketball player of all time.
I think that my issue with LeBron is not really an issue with LeBron. I think it's more of an issue on how the league deals with superstars and how referees deal with superstars. I also have an issue with his decisions as far as like when he's moving to other teams and why he's moving to other teams. So I think that's when I started not liking him that much, was when he first moved from the Cavs to Miami. But anyways, I mean, I really respect him, and I know that he's a great player for sure.
I mean, we're not going to do a LeBron-specific podcast or episode today, but, you know, an owner like Dan Gilbert in the Cavs, where he dared to write a letter in Comic Sans, was part of it all, saying that that the Cavs would win a title before LeBron would. That just tells you of the kind of owner that he is, right? And, you know, it's a bit of revisionist history, because I'm not going to be a hypocrite here, because I criticized LeBron for leaving the Cavs when it happened the first time. But looking back and you see, you know, the bigger context, you go like, huh, you know, he really wanted to do what was best for him, and he knew he would not have won in Cleveland. He wanted a title. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about LeBron James being one of the best if he hadn't won at all.
And I think that you can like him or hate him, but there's no denial that Grandpa James is clutch.
I don't dare to call him Grandpa James.
I don't know if I should call him Grandpa James or LeBron's Lice.
LeBron's Lice? Oh, for Kimbo's Lice. I see.
Yeah. So I don't know.
No, I mean, I watched the game, and kudos to Denver again, because they're a very scrappy team. One of the friends that I was texting with, he called them the Honey Badgers, because they don't give a damn. They don't care how big the lead is. They're going to try and scrap back. And that they did. There was a point in the third quarter, I believe, where they tied the game at 86, 85. After being down for, I think, 14, 16 points. And they came back and they made a very close game until LeBron took over in the fourth quarter and said, like, nope, you guys are going home. But kudos to Denver. Good job, honestly, on Frank Vogel on adjusting. And, I mean, the Lakers have been the bigger team in the three series that they've faced. And this just, you know, it showed that they were prepared to face the Nuggets.
I'm trying to find that list of veterans that I was telling you about. And I'm just browsing the Bleacher Report website, and they have an article about Delonte West checking into rehab. And it says that Mark Cuban helped him reunite with his mom.
Yeah, that's true. That happened yesterday. Yesterday, he reached out to Delonte West and all that. But anyways, good on both, on Delonte West for accepting the help and Mark Cuban for offering it. You know, all the best to him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, as I was saying, Lakers, they have the superstar power in LeBron James and AD. The cast they haven't been very consistent at times, but every now and then, you know.
Did you say the Cavs?
The cast.
Ah.
Supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
They've received support in Rondo, sometimes in KCP, Danny Green, even though he misses like three out of five shots, he sinks a timely one. So you never know who's going to be there. But I think the most consistent person has been KCP so far.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that Rondo, when it comes to playoffs, And I mentioned this before on previous episodes. I just like love watching Rondo play during the playoffs. It's a completely different player.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Rondo, I don't know what it is that he's just not great during the regular season. I don't think he cares anymore about regular season games as much as he cares about the playoffs. And, you know, I think that he knows this is one of his very last chances, if not the last one, to win a title. And for that to also to sort of be part of his legacy, because he's also known as a bit of a problematic player.
Second title, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, he won one with the Celtics. And I cannot think of any other player that has won for both teams, for, you know, Celtics and Lakers. I would have to check that up, or someone feel free to fact check me on that. But I think he would be the first one to do that.
That's right. That's an interesting piece of statistics there. He could be one of the few, or maybe the first, to win a title with the Lakers and the Celtics.
I think he would be the first, because there's been, I mean, the only other player that I can remember that has played for both Boston and the Lakers is Rick Fox. And, you know, in the past 10 years, oh no, Brandon Bass, he also played for both teams. But I don't think there's any player that has won with both teams.
It's becoming more and more common to see players moving from the Lakers to the Celtics, or from the Celtics to the Lakers. There's so many changes and there's so many moves during the offseason nowadays that it's going to become more common.
But I cannot remember a trade between the Lakers and the Celtics. Excuse me. It's always, you know, they make another stop first. So they make a layover and then they head over to Boston or LA. Mm-hmm. But my memory might fail me, but I don't think, at least in recent history, there's been a trade, or even a three-way trade or a four-way trade, in which the Lakers and the Celtics are together.
And if you think about it, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Of course, they are huge rivals, but if you think about it, like putting aside the rivalry, you're not even in the same conference. So it's not that big of a deal to make that trade, because the only time where you guys would have to battle if it comes to the finals, as far as like playoffs, right?
True, but I don't think, you know, there's no other, there are other rivalries, yes, but no other rivalries as big as this one. And I don't think that either fan base would be supportive of that, because, you know, even when Rondo got to the Lakers, I remember Laker Nation on Twitter wasn't very happy. And even to this day, or at least the very first game against the Rockets in the playoffs, people were tweeting like, Rondo is the best secret agent for the Celtics that has ever played for the Lakers, because he had a really bad game the first time that he played against the Rockets, and we lost that first game. And I was just surprised to see that, wow, some people still see him as a Celtic. I mean, he, you know, to me, he's a Laker, so by all means. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that these two teams don't engage much with each other.
And also Shaq played for both.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And he was sort of close to winning it all with the Celtics, or at least he got to the playoffs. And
there was a point in his career where he was playing for every NBA team, right?
But he always sort of landed in a contender. He never played for a crappy team.
Yeah, no, he played for the Celtics when Kevin Garnett was there, right? Was Kevin Garnett still there? I think so.
I think so. I think he still played with those Celtics.
And Nate Robinson was there, I think.
And Big Baby.
Uh-huh. And then he played with the Cavs when LeBron was with the Cavs, right?
Yeah.
He played with the Suns when Steve Nash was there.
Yep.
What else? I think that's it. Lakers, Miami, and I think that's it.
But, okay, so we know what the Lakers have been through. Let's talk about Miami, the giant killers and the underdogs of the tournament so far. They finished off Boston 4-2 over the weekend. And honestly, in the beginning of the series, when I was still feeling more confident of the Lakers making it to the finals, I was rooting for Miami to win. But after seeing them in game six against Boston, I was rooting for Boston a little bit. At least I wanted a game seven, because Miami, they're looking really good. And even if they might not have the talent that the Lakers have, they definitely feel good about themselves.
Yeah, and you know what? We talked about this last time when we recorded the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And they have the momentum. I think that, I mean, of course, the Lakers are playing very, very well. And they also have a very good momentum. But I think it's a better time for the Heat than for the Lakers.
I wouldn't say that it's a bad time for the Lakers, right? I mean, they are focused. But yeah. I think Miami doesn't have any pressure.
No pressure at all, because no one expected them to make it to the finals. So the Lakers, it's almost like they're doing what they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, of course. I personally, as a fan, I am okay with, you know, seeing LeBron and AD so focused, and they didn't really celebrate during the clinching the Western Conference. And Miami, you know, it's fun. As an NBA fan, it was honestly fun to see them beating the Celtics, getting the Eastern Conference title, and all of them celebrating, because it's their first trip for most of these guys, if not for all of them.
Yeah, I think
except for Iguodala, he's been is his sixth finals, and Coach Spoelstra, who I kind of want to talk about him because I know you don't really like him. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Spoelstra, and this entire Miami team is just fun. It's hard to not root for them. I don't like the underdog storyline, but they're fun.
I don't know why. Whenever I think about the Heat, I still believe that Pat Riley, it's behind closed doors, he's the one like calling the plays and running the team and going to practice and helping the team practice. I don't know why I still think of him as the head coach.
I have no doubt that he might have some involvement in the decisions, but I would say that Spoelstra has a pretty good system and a great relationship with the guys.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to Pat Riley, of course, I'm just joking. I don't think he's involved to that level. I think he gives Coach Spoelstra his space and he allows him to do his job. But I feel like as far as like the culture of that franchise comes from Pat Riley, like the culture of like hardworking and discipline and all of these things, I think it still comes from him.
Yeah. No, that's I cannot disagree with that statement at all. That is sort of like a staple of Pat Riley, like very resilient teams. They play fast. They are into conditioning a lot, so you know they're not gonna get exhausted, and they're very scrappy. You know, at least when he was the coach for the Showtime Lakers, he wouldn't allow his players to, you know, if a player from the opposing team would fall down, he would tell the Lakers to not help them get up. You know, that's what they have their own teammates. Mm-hmm. And that tells you, you know, I'm sure that he, you know, probably Coach Spoelstra heard that a lot, and I'm sure that he does that quite a bit. But like I said, it's a really fun team, and I'm very scared of not even Jimmy Butler, but Bam Adebayo. Bam had a fantastic game when they lost game five against the Celtics. Bam went out and said that one was on him, that he had to be more aggressive, and he did it all. It was kind of scary to see him create, see him rebounding hard, protecting the paint, scoring. That duel between Bam and AD is going to be very interesting.
And it's funny to think that the Magic allowed him to leave, right? Because he used to be with the Magic, right, Ben Adebayo? I think so.
Bam Adebayo?
Yeah, I think so, right? Or no?
Hold on.
Hold on. Live fact check. Let's see if the guy that hasn't been watching NBA games at all still knows his NBA transfers.
No, he's always been with Miami.
What? So who am I thinking about that played with the with the Magic that had a similar name?
I don't want to call you anything, but I think you're thinking of, he was with the Raptors as well. His name's escaping me. It's not, I'm thinking of Mo Bamba right now, and that's not him.
Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba is with the Magic right now.
Okay, so he never left.
He played with the Raptors not too long ago. What's his name? Jeez. Help me out, someone. This is killing me.
I think I was thinking about Mo Bamba, or maybe not. I don't know.
Mo Bamba is with the Magic and very young player. He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But his name escapes me right now. I'm so sorry. I'll figure it out.
Okay. I found the article that I read the other days. The one that I was telling you about, Carmelo Anthony and LeBron on the same list. So it says, Blazers Melo makes list of age-defined NBA stars. So LeBron is also part of the list. Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, JJ Redick, Lou Williams, and Goran Dragic. They're all part of the list of age-defined NBA stars. I'm not even sure if I would call some of them stars. Goran Dragic is not a star.
No, but, you know, he's been instrumental in this run with the Heat. And he was an all-star a couple of years ago. So, I mean, the Heat is one of those teams that all kind of like the Raptors. It's like the Raptors of the South. They don't get enough credit sometimes. Granted, they, you know, like you said at the beginning, no one expected the Heat to make it to the finals, except for J.R. Smith. He predicted it in his Instagram, and there is proof that he said Lakers against Heat for the final. I don't know what he's smoking, but he can see the future now. And they didn't get enough respect, right? Even during the playoffs run against the Bucks, it was, yes, we were all shocked that they won that first game against Milwaukee, but everyone expected Milwaukee to come back. With the Celtics, it was something similar. You know that I like The Ringer a lot, along with other fantastic podcasts, but they're very Celtics-focused when it comes to sometimes their analysis, because obviously Bill Simmons is a great Celtics fan. And they just kept saying how the Celtics were not out of it, and every time Miami was in control, they were really in control, and it was hard to beat them.
Yeah, but if we go back to the start of the season, I think that there were at least three teams that we expected to make it to the finals before the Heat. So I think everyone thought about the 76ers as contenders, the Celtics, and the Bucks. So and there you go. You have three teams. Huh?
And the Clippers.
And the Clippers. Oh, the Clippers are from the other side, right? Oh,
okay, sorry. We're just talking. Yeah. From the East.
Talking about Eastern Conference.
Yeah, for sure. And the Raptors.
And the Raptors, yeah.
Well, so, not at the beginning. Later on, but yeah.
Yeah. So they are like definitely underdogs.
So I get it. And, you know, every story has an underdog and a bit of a Goliath. And I get it. The Lakers have not only the brand, the name, everything, but I just don't think I wouldn't call Miami an underdog. You know, they were the underdog against Milwaukee for sure, based out of seeding. But against Boston, it was a fair match and the best team won, right?
I don't know. I feel like because of the seeding, they're always gonna be the, like, even against the Lakers, they are clearly the underdogs. Against the Celtics, if you think about all of the hype that the Celtics had, and like everyone has been talking about them as like a team that it's being built for the future for a couple of years already, and They made some moves. They got rid of Kyrie because Kyrie was a problem for the team chemistry. They brought Kemba Walker. They were playing well. So I didn't expect them to get knocked out by the Miami Heat.
I'm not going to say that, you know, we saw this coming again about the Heat, but I don't know if I would call them underdogs at this point, right? I mean, they are the best team in the East, and they won fair and square against they swept the Pacers, they beat the Bucks in 5 games, they beat the Celtics in 6 games. I mean, I heard it earlier today, you know, it's 4, 5, 6. Are they going to beat the Lakers in 7 games? I hope not. But if there's a team that is ready to face the Lakers, it's the Heat, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would be very excited if I was part of that team. I mean, they are, if they manage to win it all, it's going to be one of these seasons that you're always going to remember.
I am a little bit concerned. The Lakers fan in me can't help but think about the upset that the Pistons had against the Lakers in 04, where, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, different teams, very different. The Lakers had even more star power back in 04. They had Carmelo, Gary Payton, Kobe, Shaq. And the Pistons was a more of a team approach because you had Ben Wallace, who was a fantastic defender, but a liability in offense. Rip Hamilton, fantastic in offense, a bit spotty at defense at times. Same with Billups. And they pulled the upset. And it was, I think, a 4-1 series, if I remember correctly. And it was, I think that it reminds me of the narrative, you know, the stars versus sort of quote-unquote team. Because you don't know from Miami who will catch on fire. It might be Tyler Hero, or it might be Duncan Robinson. Bam has risen to the occasion. So they don't have the clear superstar right now is obviously Jimmy Butler. But there were times during games where he was not playing great, and his teammates sort of made up for that, and you could even barely feel that Jim was not having a good game.
He's a different kind of superstar. He's not like a ball hog, right? He leads more like by his energy than anything else. I think it's not like he's the one that it's always gonna grab the ball and score at all times, like not like Tracy McGrady, for example.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Butler is at that stage of his career where he's a walking bucket right now. I'm not saying that he's terrible by any means, not at all. But I think he knows he can read the game better now. He can recognize when his teammates are playing or are open or playing better. But a lot of it also falls on Dragic, and Dragic again has been fantastic. He's bringing the ball up for a majority of the game, and he's been spotting all these players that are open, and you know, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, they are walking buckets at this point, and they're feeling themselves. So
let's go back to the playoff bracket, and if we look at it, Miami played the first series against the Pacers. Yeah. Miami was the fifth seed. The Pacers were the fourth seed. Yeah. And Miami moved on. Then they played against the Bucks. The Bucks were the first seed, and Miami was the fifth seed. And Miami moved on. And then they played against the Celtics. The Celtics was the number three seed, and Miami fifth seed. And Miami made it to the finals. If you compare that to the Lakers, I mean, they were number one seed, so they never were in a situation where the odds were against them. So
Shut up. I'm sorry. Shut up. Are you going to pretend right now that everyone, when the playoffs started, everyone believed the Lakers were going to head into the finals, that there were not reports that we were going to get swept by the Blazers, that Charles Barkley even brought a broom to the studio? Same with the Rockets, that PJ Tucker was the 80 stopper and they were going to just sweep us? Come on.
I mean, when the playoffs started, you guys were not playing particularly well.
Yeah, I agree.
During the last games of the regular season, right?
Yeah.
Your bubble basketball was not very good.
They were not playing seriously, I agree.
But then when the playoffs started, you were still number one seed. So basically, if you're playing against the eighth seed, you're supposed to win. If you're playing against the fourth seed, you're supposed to win. If you're playing against the third seed, you're supposed to win.
The Lakers won three games in the bubble. The Blazers won 7 games. Right? Yeah. This is after a 2-month stoppage in play. So, yes, majority of the season was behind you. So, honestly, standings didn't really matter in the bubble. There's no home court advantage. We saw the Clippers falling after having a 3-1 lead. The Heat are in the finals. So, this is a whole different season altogether.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, everyone was very surprised with what happened with the Clippers. But the reality is that they were playing against the number 3 seed and they were number 2 seed. So it was a very well-balanced series. So I don't know if it's like that big of an upset. I think it's a much bigger upset if you think about Miami playing against the number 1 seed.
Wait, did you say that it was not a major upset that the Nuggets came back from 3-1 in the playoffs?
No, that they came back from 3-1, yes. But the series overall was a well-balanced series. You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't matter. I mean, you're up 3-1, right? The odds are against you. Or in your favor if you're the team that has the lead. So, Miami was also never in that position. Never. They've never been down in the series.
You know who I'm going to be rooting for, right?
No, I know. And, you know, you can root for... I know that whoever the Lakers are facing, you're not rooting... You're rooting for the other team. But all I'm saying is that the Heat have never been down in the series so far. Mm. Never.
I'm going to tell you a story that's going to make you very upset. Remember I told you that when I was like 14, I went to the Staples Center with my father and we watched the Lakers play against the Milwaukee Bucks when Ray Allen was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I remember.
Sam Cassell and Glenn Robinson and all these guys.
Yeah.
So I was rooting for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Why would I be upset?
But I mean, the Lakers had Kobe, Shaq, Ricky Fox.
Ricky Fox?
Who else?
Rick Fox. Is the first time that I've heard someone referring to Rick Fox as Ricky.
I don't know why I always call him Ricky.
Rick Fox, if you're listening to Dropping Dimes, please come and please let us call you Ricky.
Yeah, can I please call you Ricky? It's much easier for me.
Can you imagine, like, joining us is Ricky Fox.
And, I like the purple uniform that the Bucks used to wear back then and the fact that they had Ray Allen and Sam Cassell.
I mean, here's the thing. You remember Jem, right? Our Turkish friend. He went down with us to Portland.
Yes.
Great guy. Shout out. And we've been texting a lot throughout this playoffs. And every time... And he's a Raptors fan or... He likes the Sixers. He likes the Raptors.
He's a Trailblazers fan.
He likes the Blazers. He's got many allegiances, and that's fine. He loves the sport, right? He doesn't have that one team like you and I have. And I respect that because we have a lot of friends that do that. Even Evans doesn't have like one team, right? He just likes the sport in general. He roots for Game 7. That's what he roots for. That's fine. And, you know, I play my part in the character that, okay, you have to root for the Lakers and there's nothing better. But like I said, you know, it's hard to not like Miami. Anyways, every series the Lakers have had, he's like, oh, I'm rooting for the underdog. The Blazers are the underdog. I'm like, sure, they are. We won. I'm like, okay, you know, done deal, moving on. And then he's like, oh, bro, the Rockets are the underdog. And the Lakers are just going to move on because it's the Lakers. And I'm like, no, we literally, like, we lost game one. And then he's like, oh, you guys are going to just gonna the league is gonna rig it and make you guys move on to the next round. I'm like, we just lost.
I don't believe that the league is rigging the games because it's the Lakers, even though you know how I feel about superstars. And if it's a superstar playing for one of the most important teams of the league, I think that has more weight as well. But I don't think you guys made it to the playoffs because of that. I think there's a lot of merit there, and I don't think it's because the refs have been helping the Lakers. I don't think that's what it is. But I do agree with him when it comes to every team that plays against the Lakers being considered the underdog. I agree with him when it comes to that.
See, even as much as I want to, I try to wrap my head around that. But the Lakers, especially right now, obviously not 4 years ago, we were the laughing stock of the league. And that's fine. You know, we were going through a whole rebuild process. But they have a target on their back, right? Especially now. It's LeBron James, one of the most lovable / hated players ever, playing in one of the most loved and / hated teams in the entire league, right? There's only two teams in the entire league that you either love or hate them. It's the Lakers and the Celtics. And see, I just wanted to mention this because, and this is for Jem, shout out again, because he was saying how LeBron was getting all the calls, and I told him, after game 4 against the Nuggets, the free throw attempts for the Lakers after game 4 were 113, 113. Do you want to guess how many free throw attempts the Nuggets had through 4 games in the series?
I don't know, 150.
No, 113.
Okay.
Even Steven. So much for that argument. I love you, Jim.
I think that there was a game where the Lakers complained after the game that they were not getting enough calls, right? And then after that, the next game, they got a lot of calls. So I think that's why maybe he mentioned that.
And it was sort of spun out of proportion. So Frank Vogel said that he didn't think LeBron was getting enough calls. And, you know, tell me a coach, you know, name a coach that hasn't said that about their superstar. Anyways. And he said, we're going to complain to the league. And everyone's like, oh, they're going to send tapes and blah, 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 blah. And the reality was that, and this came from a writer. This didn't come from a Lakers writer. It came from, I can't remember who confirmed the story, but he said, all teams have some sort of portal to the NBA where they can provide evidence and say, look, we thought all these plays were a foul. And do whatever you want. Use it for your training, use it whatever, but this is what we consider a foul and whatever. And all teams have access to it, and that's what the Lakers were doing. So it got blown out of proportion.
Yeah. I was going to mention something else about the Lakers being considered the underdog. Oh, I was going to say that if I were you, I would be a bit concerned because if I'm not mistaken, if we look back at LeBron's track record, whenever he goes to a new team, he almost always makes to the finals on the first season. It was not the case with the Lakers, but he didn't really play the second half of the last season, right?
He was out for almost 2 months, yeah.
Yeah. So he almost make it to the. He almost always makes to the playoffs when in the first season. But he always loses the first time he makes it to the finals, right? Yep. So, I mean, this time it's going to be interesting to see what happens because if he lose, I think if they don't make it this year, if they don't win the title this year, I mean, of course, it's LeBron James. We don't know what's going to happen. But I feel like he's getting closer and closer to becoming just a veteran, very talented veteran that it's going to contribute a lot, but not the same anymore, not the same superstar anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, totally. And I am concerned. As a the Lakers fan in me is very concerned for the reasons that the same reasons that you just mentioned. LeBron is already not as dominant as he was with Miami, right? He could have 32, 35 point games game after game. And that's just not him anymore, right? he's not as explosive as younger guys. And Miami, you know, like we said, they have no pressure. They have an entirely different system. This is the first real challenge that I feel like either team is going to face. So it's going to be interesting, right? I think that Miami is deeper. So they have a better bench than the Lakers and more reliable in terms of scoring. I don't think the Lakers have that in, you know, in Kyle Kuzma or in Danny Green or even Dwight or JaVale McGee. They don't have that scoring power. Iguodala is coming from the bench, and, you know, Iguodala is sort of known as being a really good defender on LeBron. So, yeah, I mean, this is by far one of the toughest championships that LeBron would have earned.
And then I think there's another topic that I would like to suggest we talk about. Maybe now it's not the right moment, but maybe when the season is over. I've been reading a lot about how the NBA TV ratings are not as good as they were expecting, and how they've been affected with all of their political stance and so on. And of course, we don't really get involved with politics here. And there are certain aspects where we can agree for sure that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you agree with me that we are both supportive and like the way that the NBA handled the Black Lives Matter movement and how they are letting their players speak up and make sure that they're mentioning what their position is. And, you know, they're not asking their superstars to be quiet or avoid talking about controversial issues. But I think that a lot of people are saying that this is affecting their TV ratings because of how the country is divided right now, with Trump supporters and people that don't like Trump, and they feel like NBA players shouldn't be talking about politics, they shouldn't be talking about other issues, they should be focusing on sports. So I think that's something that it would be interesting for us to talk about very carefully, because we don't want to be controversial, but we want to talk about
it, right? No, it's not about being controversial, right? And like you said, and it concerns me that you had doubts about my stance on Black Lives Matter and how it's being treated. I am in full support of it, just to be clear.
Yes.
But so this whole ratings thing, it's more complicated than the surface suggests, right? Yes, ratings are down, but it doesn't mean it's not just that you're losing views, right? It's about performance in certain demographics, and maybe it is people above a certain age that are not watching the NBA, and maybe that's fine. Maybe it's younger people that are watching more the NBA, and that's what they want, right?
And the NFL season is already going on, right? So I don't know if that is a fact as well. It's an issue.
During the regular season and pre-COVID, you know, sort of throwing a wrench into everything, there were already reports. And this, you can look it up anywhere. You know, we're not lying here, but ratings were down nationally in the United States, but locally they increased, meaning that, you know, there's no Warriors against Cavs rivalry that had the entire country watching that. There was not one team like the Warriors that sort of unified everyone. But there was more interest in local teams, right? So there were people are following more the Milwaukee Bucks. They're following more the New Orleans Pelicans. They're following more the Memphis Grizzlies, which is a good thing because that means that small markets are paying more attention to their teams, right? And obviously, we don't have to worry about the big markets like Toronto, New York, LA, Miami. You know, those are established. But maybe, you know, now that the Lakers are good, they're not watching Warriors games, right? They're not watching Raptors games.
And I think that it's also, like with all of these things that have been happening in 2020, COVID-19, and I think that people are also realizing that there are other things that they should be focusing on and trying to spend more time with their families since they're all at home. And also there are so many games going on every day that I think that also affects the ratings, because there are too much being offered, like too many games per day.
No complaints from my end, to be honest, but you know,
yeah,
let's, you know, you and I, you don't have cable, right? We decided to cut the cord. I have NBA TV. I don't know if that shows in traditional ratings. I doubt it. So that also, I feel like the people that are saying, you know, on Twitter especially, like, no one is watching the NBA, and it's because of these athletes speaking up. It's, you know,
that's what you get when you start talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah, I feel like it's a 50-year-old white male yelling at the TV, and you know, the kind of person that's like, "I'm gonna burn my Nikes." It's like, sure.
Maybe it's not even a real person. Maybe it's just a bot, right?
Even if it, you know, I hope it's not a bot, because that makes it even more interesting. It's like, you know, you can feel whatever you feel, and you know, you want to bring your Nikes, you want to burn your jersey, go ahead. You know, you don't want to watch the NBA, we don't need you, right? I mean, as people that have played the sport, that still watch the sport, you know, it is fun to have these, you know, what are in the bigger context, stupid arguments, because no one dies in terms of sports, obviously. And it's just rivalries, right? It's that competitiveness. It's fun. It's fun to disagree. But when you're telling me that these athletes cannot speak up and their politics, like, we don't need you, right? The more people that are like-minded, they're welcome, and they should be exposed to other things. So you don't want to watch the NBA, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, what I will mention is that the way that the NBA handles controversial issues, for example, that might come up from China, for example, is completely different, because it's a huge market and they're very worried of losing that. So I think that's something that, if you want to be critical about the league, you could say, okay, so if you're gonna participate, and if you're gonna try to have a voice and so on, you need to apply it to every aspect out there that deserves your attention, right? Or every situation that deserves your attention.
And it's a good argument to make. I see why people do it, but you know, while the NBA has a big stake in China, they don't live there, right? And Tencent, who's the company that gets the games, they've already banned, they stopped showing a number of games. And yeah, I'm sure the NBA lost that, but you know, they, as a player, you don't live in that country, but they live in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. 99% of the league, or no, that's not the case anymore, but what's fair to say, 93-95% of the league are Americans, and or people that live in the States majority of the year. So these are issues that are right there in their backyard, right?
Yeah.
You know, to put it in context, and I'm kind of glad that we're having this conversation, but you and I are immigrants, right? We live in Canada and we care about what happens back home, right? But if you're telling me that there's a march here about something that I really care about, you know, I'm going to go there before I get into something that is back home, because I live here, right? And that affects me directly. But that doesn't mean I'm any less Mexican.
But do you think, and this is just like, I'm being very controversial now. I said that I wouldn't be controversial, but I can't help myself. Do you think that if the league had a player from Hong Kong, they would allow him to wear a t-shirt that brings attention to the issues that are going on in that region now? Or do you think that they would apply some censorship there? And of course, I understand that we're talking about different situations. We're talking about racism in one side, and I'm comparing to something that it's more related to political and geopolitical issues. But at the end of the day, you understand the comparison that I'm trying to make, right?
It is, you know, apples and oranges.
Yeah.
To start off with, I mean, I would like to think that they would allow this player to feel whatever they feel, especially in this day and age. I mean, the NBA is not perfect, right? Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, when he decided not to stand for the anthem, he was fined. He had to stay in the hallway before the games. So, but this is more than what? This is 20, 15 years ago? Around 20. And the league has come a long way in understanding social issues, because they understand that it is the public that makes the revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the younger demographic that, you know, people like you and me, like millennials that are willing to spend money to get on a bus and travel for 8 hours to watch one game, that are willing to pay for those tickets, right? And if that's what we want to hear, I, you know, from a business perspective, that's what they would allow. But I don't speak for the NBA. I'm not a spokesperson. I would hope that they would allow that, but who knows?
And you know what? You just made me realize that if we worked for the NBA, you would make, like, it would be a no-brainer to hire us, because that's like such a no-brainer investment. If you pay us a good salary, we're going to spend almost 60% or more of that salary buying stuff from the NBA anyways. So it's almost like you're getting more than half of the salary that you're paying us back. So
is this our pitch to the NBA? Is this our pitch to the NBA, the official pitch?
Exactly.
So you're saying that 60% of our income will go back to our employer if it was the NBA?
I mean, it's just that probably if you work for the NBA, you get some perks that we don't get now, so we wouldn't have to spend on that.
All right, let's wrap it up. This kind of was all over the place, but I'm okay with that. Let's wrap it up with our prediction after this very intellectual conversation that we just had. Who you got and how many games?
I think the Lakers are going to win in 6 games.
Me too. Lakers in 6, baby. Here we go. Won't be easy. Won't be pretty. It certainly won't be pretty, but I think they can get the job done.
I hope that the Heat can prove me wrong, but that's what I think is going to happen. Lakers in 6.
I'm going to outright say that Miami's a fantastic team, and I am truly very, very scared. I actually think that Miami takes the first game, similar to the Blazers. You know, they punch the Lakers in the mouth, and then the Lakers go like, okay, so this is what we have in front of us, and they make adjustments. What I'm concerned is that it's the finals, so it's not like there's added pressure. And one game gives you a lot more confidence, especially if you're the Heat.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. First game is tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. So first game is tomorrow, Wednesday.
So today, because, you know, it's going to drop Wednesday before the game. So
yes, but I'm excited to watch the first game. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to get together during the weekend to watch a game, right? When is it? Sunday.
I thought you were going to come over tomorrow. Or today, I should say.
Did I say that?
No. I thought you were going to say we're gonna get together and watch a game. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want me there tomorrow? Are you sure that would be a good idea for you?
I can deal with you or Evans, but not both of you at the same time.
Okay. But I think that, you know what? I think that tomorrow it's gonna be Ben Adebayo's game. He's going to score like 40 points.
You sound like Mark Jackson when he tries to pronounce Adebayo.
Adebayo.
There you go.
Adebayo.
Yeah, I think tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami takes the first one. If the Lakers take the first one, you know, that's it. That's the Lakers are going to go all the way.
You know what? I can't believe that I just said that the Lakers are going to win in 6. I feel ashamed.
I mean, what am I want to be that jerk of a fan that I've been waiting so long, 10 years to be, but I can't. I am very scared of Miami. Very, very scared. All righty. Anything else, Raf?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. It was a very interesting episode with a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And also, it's great timing because I have to do laundry.
You know what? It's amazing that when it's just the two of us, it seems like we have a harder time following the agenda.
We didn't have that much of an agenda, to be honest.
I not even read what you sent me.
Like I told you, I was up until like 2 a.m. on a call for work, which was a very bad idea. To anyone out there, if you have a, you know, your day hustle, whatever it is, and then you have a call at midnight, just ask for the recording and watch it, you know, whenever you have time during the day. It's not worth your time. Just go to bed. It's my advice of the night.
But now let's be honest here. If they send you the recording, would you actually watch a 3-hour recording?
At least you can listen to it, right? While you do other stuff. But at 11:30 or sorry, midnight, what else are you going to do?
That's like probably the time of the day that I'm more awake. When it comes to 12 a.m., 12:30 a.m., 1 a.m., that's when I'm awake and full of energy.
I'll let you know next time so you can sit in for me.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, time to do laundry. But as always, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars, leave a review. Otherwise, we'll ask you to do our laundry, and you definitely don't want that. Follow us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, Twitter at dropping_dimes1, Facebook.com, dropping.dimes1, our website, www.dropping-dimes.com, and our email, contact@dropping-dimes.com. This is the Dropping Dimes. What's that?
Sorry.
Always, all the goddamn time.
I was just going to say that you don't want to have to watch Rodrigo's lucky boxers because he wears the same boxers every time he watches a Laker game. So, yeah, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, we've lived too long together, way too long. Anything else before we sign off?
No. Okay. What are you going to say? You forgot one of the social medias. You have to repeat now.
Instagram at dropping.times, Twitter at dropping_times1, facebook.com/dropping.times1, www.dropping-times.com, contact@dropping-times.com. This is the Dropping Dimes. I missed it up. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.